Luke chapter 11 is where we read together, and I want to focus especially in verses 1 and 2, continuing the theme of growing as Christians and our responsibility to grow. It's not that we are people who can just come to church and be spoon-fed and we'll just grow automatically. We need to take action. We need to make an effort in order to make progress in our relationship with God. And one of the areas which is crucial in that is the area of prayer, about which Jesus teaches here. So we read in Luke 11 that one day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." And he said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come.'" Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Now, if you're thinking, here comes a sermon on prayer, and I can just tune out of a sermon on prayer because prayer is for really keen Christians, or prayer is something that I've basically worked out, I know how to pray, then please think again. Now, some people have the attitude that prayer is for being a Christian like Monroe bagging is for walkers, like it's just for the extra keen. Most people, if they go for a walk, they're quite happy maybe to walk the bridge in Kyle, or to go for a stroll out towards Baddockhill. If they're a bit more adventurous, maybe go up to the television mast at Clocton. But it's only the really keen who go and bag Monroe's. And some people think, well, it's like that in prayer. It's just the really keen Christians who make any kind of effort to pray. But not so. Jesus tells us here that Christians, if they're Christians at all, they pray. He says in verse 2, "When you pray." He doesn't say to you and to me, if you pray, if it happens to be something you feel that you might like to do as a Christian, then this is how to do it. He says, "When you pray." He expects you to pray. The Lord Jesus expects to cock his ear to the area of Lachalsh and to hear your prayers. He expects to hear them regularly, daily. I mean, the Lord's Prayer is about daily things, like give us each day our daily bread. So you're not going to pray that once a week. Jesus expects to hear daily prayer. He expects to be listening and to hear your voice raised in prayer to him. It's not just for the keen Christian. Prayer is essential to spiritual growth. And the disciples are fascinated here by the praying of Jesus. We don't know if they actually could hear this particular prayer. There were other times when they certainly could hear Jesus praying as he prayed. And it was for them a fascinating experience, because he prayed in a way that no one else they'd ever heard prayed. And his prayer inspired them. They thought, we want to pray like that. What would it take? How do we learn to pray the way Jesus prays? And so Jesus hears their request, which is in a sense like a prayer to Jesus there. Lord, teach us to pray. Evidently, John the Baptist had taught his disciples about prayer. Now the disciples of Jesus want to be taught to pray too. And it's really interesting as a first point here that if you're going to pray, you've got to learn to pray. Prayer is not something that just happens in an intuitive way. You've got to actually learn. You have to be taught. And that means that you can progress from being not good at praying to being better at praying to being even better still. When I first became a Christian, for the first few weeks, until I began to be exposed to other people praying in the student circles I was moving in, for the first few weeks, I prayed as an 18-year-old, "Gentle Jesus, meek and mild." look upon a little child, pity my simplicity, suffer me to come to thee, and God bless Mum, Dad, Granny and Grandpa. Amen. That's how I prayed. Because that was how I'd been taught to pray when I was a little boy at bedtime. I had to learn to go beyond that. And it may be that you have your own routine of prayer that is just almost a repetition. And you need to learn to go beyond that. It may be that your prayer is pretty much the same every day. And you need to go beyond that. You need to advance. You need to grow. And another thing as well is that we often think that the way we pray is how prayer is done, when actually often it's full of bad habits. It's like that with anything if you don't learn it properly. I mean, a lot of the kids around here maybe learn to drive, for example, on the croft in a tractor, and they strut about at 11, 12 years old, I can drive. And then they start driving when they're 17, and actually they've learned some bad habits, and they have to learn to get rid of those bad habits, and the driving instructor will hopefully do that, or they'll not get through their test. Bad habits can be carried on right through life in driving and also in praying. And we need to learn. We need to get beyond the bad habits into good habits of prayer. And all of these things can be learned. We need to learn to pray. Do not think that you know how to pray. Or do not think that you can't learn how to pray better. These disciples were not men who had never prayed up until this day. But these disciples are seeing Jesus pray at a level that is far beyond what they had even imagined prayer could be. And they think, we'd like to learn to get up to that level. How do we do it? And in order to teach them, Jesus gives them this simple prayer. It's one of the most important passages in the Bible. Of course, there's a slightly fuller version of it in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 6. And I expect that Jesus maybe taught the disciples this prayer on several occasions, so that it would be fixed in their minds. Now, is this prayer meant to be said in a parrot fashion? Because it is very easy to use the prayer like that. And we all know how to say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Probably learned it at school. Many churches say the Lord's Prayer as part of their Sunday services. But there's always a danger that you just say it like a parrot. You say it as though it's magic. As though it's abracadabra for Christians, that it's the magic formula that gets God's blessing. And Jesus did not mean us to understand it like that. If he did mean us to say it as it's written, he also meant us to say much more than what's written. He meant us to learn from it, to use it as a springboard to our own prayers and to expressing our own relationship with God, seeing and learning from the priorities in the Lord's Prayer. You're supposed to take the Lord's Prayer and not just say it as it is, but think about each line of it, each word of it, and how you can express that more fully. I mean, think of the Lord's Prayer as it's like an artist, and he's got his palette, and he squirts out a few basic colours onto the palette when he's going to paint a picture. Well, the Lord's Prayer is like those very basic colours on the palette. Just a few basic colours that he's going to work from. Then he gets his brush and he mixes the different colours together according to the actual shades that he wants. And he paints his picture
And he keeps mixing so the palette will be covered with a whole range of different colours, which are what happens when you mix different paints together. And the Lord's Prayer is like that. You can't make the picture just from the individual colours. You've got to mix. You've got to develop the colour to be just as you want it for the picture to take shape. And when you do that, with even basic colours, you can paint something that is very rich and vibrant with a whole variety of shades of colour. And that's how we can pray as well, using the Lord's Prayer, if you like, as the basic colours. The first basic colour in the Lord's Prayer comes from the word that opens it. It's the word Father. Father. Now, how do you say the word Father if you're a Christian to God? How do you say it? We have a problem because it's just printed on the page, and in a way we wish we could listen to Jesus saying the word. How does a Christian say Father to God? You know, there are lots of different ways of saying Father. You can say it very familiarly, and as though you were saying, "Hi, Dad." "Father." "Hi, Father." You can say it hesitantly, so you're not sure of where you're standing. "Father." You can say it reverently, with a great sense of respect. "Father." Or "Father." And you can say it in all kinds of other ways if you think about it. How do you say it though? Listen to yourself say the word when you're praying. Listen to how you say it, because it will tell you a great deal about what you think your relationship with God actually is. How do you say that word? The thing is, when we read the word Father, we all think we know what a father is. But we don't. What would be the best way to learn what a father was would be to learn it from the Bible and to learn it from what God is towards his people. Because God is a father to his children. And then to measure up other father figures, like our human fathers, by the measure of what God is. But the fact is, we do it the other way around. We tend to learn what a father is from earthly father figures, and then we think we know what a father is according to what our earthly father was like, and then we think that's what God's like when he's a father. And we get it wrong because of that, because our earthly fathers were fallible, they were frail, they were sinners, and however good they were not perfect. And sometimes they were very bad. And as a result, if we think that father means what our earthly fathers were, we'll not think about God and a relationship with him properly. So how do you learn what a father is? Well, sometimes when you're thinking about God as a father, you'll find the Bible compares earthly fathers to God as a father when earthly fathers do the right thing. For example, you'll get a comparison that says, as a father does this, so God does this. So Deuteronomy 1 says, in the desert, the Lord your God carried you, Israel, as a father carries his son. Okay, so that's a father lifting his son and carrying him on his shoulders. That's what God did for you, says Moses. Well, that's an easy enough one. We sang another one a minute ago in Psalm 103. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. That's a very positive picture, isn't it? A father who has compassion. So there's a good father showing compassion to a child who's hurt, perhaps, who's fallen, and grazed his knee, and the father is compassionate. Well, that's how God is to his children. Again, another comparison in Proverbs 3, verse 12. The Lord disciplines those he loves as a father, the son he delights in. So there's an example of a father who is concerned about the moral growth of his child and he disciplines his child, well, the proverb says, well, God as a father does that as well. So there's a few examples of comparison. But remember I said comparison often falls down. It often breaks down because, well, some of us here can probably say, well, I'm so glad God is not like my father. And I'm one of them. And if I think of my heavenly father in terms of my earthly father, I'll be running in the opposite direction. So sometimes we need to hear that there's a contrast. And there's a contrast in chapter 11 here, for example, if you go to verse 13. Verse 13 here, Jesus says, you know, the father's, your son says, I'm hungry, Dad. Can I have some fish? Jesus says, which of you, if your son asked for a fish, would give him a snake? You wouldn't do that, would you? If Bethany went to her dad and said, Dad, can I have some egg? Well, DJ's not going to give her a scorpion. No. So there's a contrast. Jesus says, verse 13, if you then, though you are evil, that's dad's, if you then, though you're evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? And there's a very similar passage in Matthew's Gospel where it's just how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him. And there is a contrast. In other words, earthly dads, they're evil. They have sinful hearts. But even they know how to look after their kids and give them good things. Jesus is saying, well, how much more will God in heaven give you good things? Far more, far beyond what an earthly father will. If you think your father on earth was good, then Jesus says, don't just think of God as being that good. God is far more good than even the best father on earth. How much more, Jesus says, will your Father in heaven give to those who ask him? And that's something we need to recognise, that to think about God as a Father, we're only going to get a little way thinking about him in earthly terms. He as a Father is so much greater than any earthly father. And that's what Jesus is saying here in this contrast in verse 13. So what I'm saying is, if you're going to grow as a person who prays and grow in your relationship with the one you're praying to, you've got to start as a basic thing. The very first thing is you've got to start thinking of him as your heavenly Father. Now that's for every Christian. If you're not a Christian, God is not yet your heavenly Father. And you need to just come to him. Come to him as someone seeking his mercy, as someone seeking his forgiveness, and asking that he will receive you. And he will. He is very merciful. And he'll adopt you, which is what God does to us when we become his people, when we repent of our sins and put our trust in our Savior Jesus. We're adopted and we become his children. But we've got to begin to discover what that means. And so our image of God has got to change. We've got to learn who we're praying to. We've got to get our image of him right. And the way we will grow in prayer most profoundly is by learning more fully how God is a father to us. If we've got a right image of God as a father, we will pray in the right way. In Matthew chapter 6, when Jesus introduces the Lord's Prayer there, in verses 7, 8, 9 of Matthew 6, this is what Jesus says. He says to the disciples, when you pray,
Don't keep babbling like pagans.
They think they're going to be heard because of their many words. Don't be like them. For your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. This then is how you should pray. Now we all know, as we look out on the world's religions and watch people pray in Islam, in Buddhism and other religions, that they repeat the same things over and over and over again because they have an image of God that's wrong. Jesus is saying a wrong image will lead you to babble like a pagan. If you think, well, I just need to give God more and more prayer, and the more prayer I get, the more kudos, the more points, the more merit, the more I impress God, and the more He'll reward me. Jesus says, get rid of thinking like that. That's not how a child prays to his or her father, or speaks to his or her father, or it ought not to be. Because your Father loves you. So when you pray, say, Father. That's how you begin. And if you've got a right image of a father, you won't feel the need to babble on. You won't feel the need to try and twist God's arm by impressing Him with how much your prayers are, or how long they are, or how wordy, or how eloquent, or anything. Instead, you're coming to your Father. And as a person coming to a Father in heaven, the more you understand the richness of His fatherhood, the more comfortable your prayer will become, the less you'll be trying to impress Him or babble on at Him. Now, what is our Father like? Father, the prayer begins, hallowed be your name. Your name. The name of God is the name Yahweh. The Old Testament name that was often translated Jehovah. And remember, some years ago now, I spent a lot of time speaking about that name and the character of it. Exodus 34, verses 6 and 7. When God proclaimed His name to Moses, and He said to Moses, this is who I am, Moses. This is what my name means. This is what my character is. I am Yahweh, Yahweh, the compassionate. We've sung it in Psalm 145 and Psalm 103. The compassionate and the gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, forgiving wickedness and rebellion and sin. This is my character. This is who I am. Go and learn it. That's what God is saying to Moses. And then He gives us Jesus. And Jesus has the same character as God, because He says, he who has seen me has seen the Father. And so, to get a right image of God as a Father, we need to understand His character. The character of God. And that is where you and I need to begin in prayer. Like, for example, the very first thing about that character is its mercy. I am the merciful and gracious God, says God to Moses in Exodus 34. Mercy. Now, when you pray as someone who's sinned and you come to God as a father and say, Father, please forgive me, how do you imagine it to be? Imagine that God's mercy is like water and your sin is like a stone. Do you imagine it's like casting a rock into a pool? The rock is your sin and the pool is God's mercy, and the God's mercy just about manages to cover it over. Is that your picture? Because the mercy of God is often imagined, as we're trying to learn about God, as though it was only just managing, as though God only just could cope with our sin. So it was something just He might manage and no more. Please, God, just please find a way to cover this sin. And what we've got to learn as we discover God's character is the ocean that God's mercy is. So really, when we come with our worst sins to confess them, it's like casting a tiny little pebble into the ocean. And that's how readily God can cover over the worst of our lives. He covers over the pebbles and the rocks of our sin with an ocean of his mercy. But you and I have got to learn about his character, and that it really is like an ocean. Think about that. I'm just going to leave that with you. We also have to learn what it means in verse 2 that he is a king. Your kingdom come. And this is something that's perhaps in the nation's thoughts just now with the birth of Charlotte. And the royal baby who is going to grow up maybe with her father as king. It may be that in a few years' time, who knows, perhaps Elizabeth will be gone to higher service and Charles may or may not choose to be king and William may be king and Charlotte may grow up with her father as king. What a privileged position. Not many people can do that. And she'll grow up with her big brother George thinking, my daddy's king. And she'll have a real sense, as she looks around at all the other boys and girls she'll see in the nursery she's in or in the school she goes to, no one else can say that. My daddy's king. And it will no doubt put a stamp on her life that is completely different to the stamp that will be on any of the other kids. Imagine what it's like to grow up like that. My daddy's king. But if you're a Christian, you do not need to imagine. Because your father is king. Father, your kingdom come. You're saying he's a king. And that's what he is. He's the King of Kings, as we thought about this morning. And the Lord of Lords. And so you must learn all of these things when you begin to pray. You must learn that you're coming to a king of excellent character who is your father. And that's something you need to work on. And I need to work on. And I work on a lot myself. Because I started at a very low point. I had a very low estimation of fathers when I became a Christian. And I work on it all the time. Learning, trying to grasp it more and more. Do the same. Last time we were thinking about Bible reading, and I tried to help you remember what we'd thought with the word quest. It might be a good thing to do us a Bible quest on this theme of what God is as a father. Remember the first letter Q of quest was question. Come with a question to the Bible. And maybe your question is, what is a father? And come to the Bible as though you'd never heard of father before. So you never knew what a father was. And let the Bible teach you. Let Jesus teach you here. Maybe come to Exodus 34 verses 6 and 7. And say, what is a father? Or come even to this passage we've read. And there's something about fatherhood in the Lord's Prayer in verse 13. And ask the question, what is a father? And remember the notepad I taught about when you read in the Bible? Quest. You, the you of quest was undisturbed. The E of quest was being engaged. Engaged with the Bible. Reading it over. Writing out the verses. Seeking to meet God. Maybe taking that verse, maybe verse 13 here, for example, writing it out and just writing down anything that occurs to you about it. And the S of quest was speaking to God about the questions you have and what he shows you. It's about praying. And then the T was taking notes, using that to journal, to remember what you've learned. And each time, perhaps thinking as a question, what is a father? You can answer it in your notepad and say, a father is. And write down whatever insight God's given you. A father is someone who gives good gifts to his children. God as a father is someone who does even more than that, Jesus says. You know, just think about these things. Let maybe your quest be, what is a father? Because that is what God is to me. And so you pray. You pray to the Father of all glory, the Father who's the King, the Father of excellent character. And you pray to him, you open up your lips and you open up your heart and you say, Father. And you're trying to discover the richness and the depth of what that means. You're trying to learn so that you can learn how to relate to him better, so that you can pray better. You say, Father, and you know he's there. And you know he's there whether you're praying in church or at home or in the car or whatever you are. Not because the world revolves around you, but because the Father is everywhere. Absolutely everywhere. In heart and mind, in character, in kingly rule. He's everywhere. He knows you, where you are, who you are, what language you speak, what you're doing, what you're struggling with, what you're thinking about, before you even begin to express it to him. You're speaking to God, Father. And you're beginning to grow in a relationship with him, Father. An adventure has begun, a great adventure. An adventure that will never ever end. For the Christian, calling God as Father is something that you will never cease to do. And you will go on in that relationship forever and ever, never exhausting the richness of his character, never finding the bottom of his mercy, never finding the end of his power as King. Let that adventure begin for you. Let that adventure grow for you. Learn what it means to call God your Father. Learn what a father is. Learn his character. Learn his kingship. And go on in that wonderful adventure of your relationship with him. Growing in grace and in the knowledge of him. Now and always. Amen.